Good morning. It's good to see everyone out this morning. Holiday weekend. I know there are some traveling. We pray for them as well. It's good to see everyone here. I read recently about a guy having a job interview, and he was speaking with the HR officer and asked this young engineer who was just fresh out of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology and said, "What kind of salary are you looking at starting out at?" And the engineer said, "Well, I'm thinking maybe in the region of about 125 grand a year. And that kind of depends on the benefits package." Well, the interviewer took a lot of interest and said, "Well, what would you say to a package of 5 weeks vacation, 14 paid holidays, full medical and dental, company matching retirement at 50% of your salary, and a company leased Corvette every 2 years?" And the engineer sat straight up and said, "Man, are you kidding me?" And the interviewer said, "Yes, but you started it." Well, sort of how I feel talking to doctors sometimes. Another how I feel talking to doctors, I said this guy showed up at church one day and he asked the minister if he could speak to him for just a few minutes. And he said, "I'd like for you to pray for my hearing." And the minister said, "Well, I can do that." And so he took him in the office and he said this prayer. He placed his hands on the man's shoulders and he said, "Father, I pray for this man's hearing and that it gets better." And after he said amen, he said, "How do you feel now?" And the man was kind of confused. And he said, "Well, my hearing's tomorrow." I'll tell you a true story. Let's see here. A week ago, Sunday, sick. I went to St. Francis a week ago. Be 2 weeks this Tuesday, I think, is how that works. And I hadn't ate anything since Saturday. Didn't eat anything Sunday, nothing Monday, nothing Tuesday. Wednesday, they come in and they tell me they're going to do a stomach emptying test on me. And whatever that means, it was pretty empty. Hadn't had anything to eat. They would bring something in, and I'd just take that out of here. I can't even stand the smell of the broth. I don't want that. And so nothing to eat. Well, I get down in the stomach emptying test, and the guy tells me he's bought special eggs for me. He's making this big deal. I was not in the mood to have a big deal made out of scrambled eggs. But he's telling me this story, how he's went and purchased these special eggs, and they're just for me. And he's going to have me 2 pieces of toast, and it's real important. I need to eat all the eggs. But I don't have to eat the toast, but don't touch the eggs. And I sat there for a minute. I guess I'm a pretty literal guy. I didn't know that I was. And he said, "Do you understand?" And I said, "I don't understand." And he said, "What don't you get?" And I said, "Well, you said I had to eat all the eggs, but I'm not supposed to touch it." And he said, "With your hands." And I kind of got indignant. And I was like, what makes this guy think that I'm going to just two-fist some scrambled eggs? And then in like one of those little silver paper towel things, I kind of caught a glimpse of my reflection. Kind of looked like a guy that might take 2 hands full of eggs and just shove them in his mouth. So I kind of let him slide on that. But anyway, that's been my last couple of weeks. We're going to try to finish up. Appreciate Bob a couple of weeks ago. He kind of did part one of this sermon. I'm going to have time to try to finish it off. Apostle Peter commands us to live in harmony with the people that are around us, which means that we are to be sympathetic and loving and compassionate and humble when we want to be, but especially when we don't want to be, and to people that maybe we don't believe deserve it. The passage that we looked at a few weeks ago and that we're looking at again today probably has a minimum of about 10 sermons in it. So the doors are locked. Get comfortable, and we'll get started. I'm just kidding about that. But we talked about a few weeks ago, it was important to live in harmony, to be humble, to set Christ as Lord. This passage talks about keeping a clear conscience, to be sympathetic, to repay with blessings, to be prepared, to love, to keep away from evil, and to be gentle, to be compassionate, to seek peace, and be respectful. Again, in verse 9 of 1 Peter chapter 3 says, "Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. And then just a few verses later in 1 Peter 3:16, it says, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. So the first thing for us to living in harmony is with someone who is insulting to us. Verse 9 speaks about being insulted. It describes in verse 10 someone speaking evil and even lying. And then in verse 16, Peter further describes someone who speaks maliciously against us, maybe to hurt us or our families. How are we to behave towards people who insult us or lie about us and tries to ruin our reputation with others? Are we supposed to respond just like them? Are we supposed to insult them in return with maybe an even better or more cutting insult? Do we defend ourselves when we are attacked verbally or maybe through an email or some sort of post of some sorts? Well, we talked about those things. Sympathy means that we prayerfully place ourselves in the shoes of the person who is doing the insulting and lying. When we do that, we arrest judgmental attitudes that we may have for a number of reasons, but we might also see why they are acting the way they are. It's not an excuse, but we can understand and may find a way to encourage peace with them. Love means that we don't respond in the same way that they have attacked us. Love means that when we think of them, we ask that God may change any anger or hate or resentment or short tempers that we have with someone so that we will love, that they will persevere through the problem. Compassion means that we actively do something loving, maybe compliment them, send a gift, return their hostility with a blessing. The writer of Proverbs in Proverbs 25 verses 21 through 22 says, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink, for you will heap burning coals on his head and the Lord will reward you. Maybe just knowing and every time you bless someone when they curse you hurts them. Maybe that's kind of a weird way of getting back at them. But we also get a reward with that. So it's sort of a win-win. Humbleness, of course, means that we give up our rights to get back at someone or that makes insults or even lies. Humbleness means that we submit to God's will in conflict, even if it seems like we are getting the raw end of the deal and it's unfair. One writer I read that he once told someone that they were told, One writer I seen said he told someone that he was a bitter old man in the presence of his family after he had got done berating and telling him that he was not a very good Christian, that he stood silent in a room of 60 people after listening to 10 minutes of someone insulting him for something he had not done. No one defended him or challenged the insults, even though they knew the truth. There was a choice to be made. He had to choose whether he wanted to be what Jesus calls him to be part of a four-part harmony. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 12 through 14 says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. And then in 1 Peter 3:17, he says, for it's better to suffer for doing good, that it should be God's will, than for doing evil. The second thing there for living in harmony is with someone who isn't fair. Verse 12 describes evil happening. Verse 14 points out directly that it is possible to suffer for doing good. It's possible that things would be unfair for people for no apparent reason. Verse 14 also points out that sometimes people act unfairly because of their fear. How are we to behave towards someone who acts completely unfairly? Again, are we to complain that we are not being treated fairly? Are we to get back at someone by being equally unfair to them in speech or in action? Do we defend ourselves when we are being treated unfairly? Maybe again, through some sort of post or through an email. Sympathy again means that we try and figure out why the person is being unfair. What expectations or trials or hurt feelings are they going through that has produced in them this unfair actions and attitudes? Trying to see the world through their eyes and experience will help us understand the situation better. Love, when someone is unfair, it means that you adopt an attitude inside of you that is still going to be fair regardless. It's still going to be peaceful. It's still going to seek resolution if at all possible. Love means that you fight off the bitterness because of unfairness, of the unfairness that has been thrust upon you. And again, we go back to that third part of the harmony, compassion. Compassion in this instance, in my opinion, it means that we have nothing but pity for someone who treats us unfairly. That there are times when someone will treat you so unfairly and you need to move to the point that you feel pity or sorrow for them because they feel they have to keep treating you such way. That their life is so miserable and they continue to extend that to you. And I think that's something that's sad for them. That third part of humbleness means that we give up our rights to get back at someone when they are being unfair. Humbleness means that we submit to God's will in an unfair conflict, even if, again, it seems like we're getting the raw end of the deal. God promises us that when we answer unfairness with harmony, that we are blessed because of it. I think we can all probably relate to losing our temper in a room full of people. I've done it with a room full of people that I trusted, that I wanted their approval once, and I found the person under my control at that time or authority had been undermining that authority unfairly and on purpose. I found a woman that I had worked with that I cared for, but she had been lied to about the things that I had said, and my attitudes and words were taken out of context. But sometimes you just have to let them think the best of people that she trusts. And to this day, I have never challenged those unfair statements in any way. But there's a choice there to be made. Do we want to be that harmony that Jesus calls us to be? Do we want to continue practicing this four-part harmony? Verse 15 of 1 Peter 3 says, "But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you a reason for hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." That verse is all about evangelism and witnessing. Let's just break that verse down real briefly. The third person that we need to have harmony with is someone who is seeking. Not everybody that we come in contact in our lives is going to be a believer in Jesus Christ, and some of them are going to be hostile to the faith. The Apostle Peter tells us that we should be prepared at all times and in all situations, perhaps even at the drop of a hat, to explain what we believe and why we believe it and how someone else can believe the same things as us. We are to be ready to answer questions about faith when asked. It doesn't matter who asks us. The question could come from family or friends or co-workers or enemies or acquaintances. It doesn't matter. We are to share with everyone that we come across. Our end goal of communication of faith, not a verbal beatdown on how awful the person is or a lecture about how hot hell is this time of year. Our answers to non-believing people around us should be in faith and should be injected with gentleness and respect. Again, we go back to those four parts. Sympathy means that we try to put ourselves in the life and the attitudes of the non-believer we are talking to so we can better explain how Jesus Christ can help. Well, we should try and honestly look at their objections or their obstacles to faith to understand. That second part of love, that must be our attitudes. When we deal with people's hurts and expectations of God, our words, our attitudes, our actions and answers, and even our invitations to join us here at church should come from a place of love. That third part of compassion for the non-believer means that we help them, even if they said they have rejected our God and our Savior. Our humbleness means that we realize that we may not have all the answers, but in the end, God will draw that person's heart to Him and bring them closer. We are a messenger for God. We are a seed planter. We are a sign pointing them to God, but we can't force them to believe. Well, one minister wrote that I sat in a room with a young lady who was trying to find her way in the world, and I led her out of my office without fully explaining to her that setting God on the back burner of her life was making a huge mistake. And he honestly put, I did not have a ready, loving answer for her questions. I have friends who just openly ridicule me for being a Christian and consider it a character flaw that one would pray to God. There's a choice to be made. I want to be who Jesus calls me to be. I want to practice that four-part harmony. When you look in a mirror, who do you see? Do you see someone who repays evil with evil? Do you see someone who replies insult with insult? Do you see someone who lies about others when you find out they have lied about you? Do you see someone, when faced with unfairness, decides to do whatever is needed to get even? Do you see someone, when faced with unfairness, decides to defend yourself at all costs? The Apostle Peter commands us to live in harmony with the people around us, which means that we are sympathetic and we are loving and we are compassionate and we are humble when we want to be, and especially when we don't want to be and the people we deal with don't deserve it. Be sympathy, be love, be compassion, be humble, be harmonious with one another. You know, we all have a choice to make in this life, whether to become a Christian or not become a Christian. And sometimes it can be so frustrating when you see a good person that just doesn't want to be a Christian. They just don't see the point in that. It's becoming increasingly harder for people to differentiate between what is good and what is Christian. We've mixed those things together so much that sometimes it's hard to tell. But us as Christians, we know what it means. And it's our job now to go and impress that on other people, to share that gospel message. You don't have to beat somebody over the head with it, but with how you live your life, with how you instruct people in your actions and in your attitudes towards them. This morning, if you're not a Christian, again, we urge you to make that choice. We know the gospel story. The gospel story sometimes we think is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but really the whole gospel, the whole Bible is the good news of God, is the good news of Jesus Christ. You could go back to Genesis 1:1 and find the good news of Jesus Christ sandwiched into the first chapter of Genesis all the way to the last chapter of Revelation. This morning we urge you, if you're not a Christian, to make that choice. If you are a Christian and need the prayers of the congregation, now would be an opportune time to come as together we stand and we sing.